Happy Sabbath. It's a blessing to be here at Elmira again. Praise the Lord for allowing you all to let myself and my family be here today and allowing me to speak. And so before I begin, let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Kind and loving Father, we thank you, O Lord, for the blessing of the Sabbath day. We thank you for bringing us all here safely. And we thank you, Lord, for the words that you have prepared. I pray, Lord, that the things that are said would not be from me, but be from you. And that this message that has been prepared for us, your people, O Lord, would not just be something that we just hear today, but would be something that we will contemplate on, O Lord, and consider the signs of the times. Please, allow the Holy Spirit to be here with us. Give us discernment, O Lord, and help us to understand these things. Pray that you'll be with those, O Lord, who are at home, those who could not make it, and those, O Lord, our friends and families as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Signs of the times. Are signs important? I would hope so. If I were from my house traveling down to Elmira, if I didn't know where I was going, what would I need? I would need some signs, right? I would need to know where to get off. Signs tells us where we are. It tells us where we're going, right? They even tell us where we came from. And so we see in the Bible, there are a lot of signs that tell us the very same thing. Where we are, where we're going, what we've been through, so on and so forth. So in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was with the disciples. And verse 3 tells us that as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" So the disciples are asking, how would we know when the end of the world will be and the signs of your coming? And so one would think, well, Jesus is here with us right now, so why would I ask for a sign of his coming if he's already here? But this is showing us that he's going to come again. Amen? Amen. Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
Okay, I need to make sure of that. The pen of inspiration tells us that the words were spoken by Christ in that memorable conversation with his disciples upon Olivet, after he had for the last time departed from the temple. The disciples had asked the question, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus gave them signs and said, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Thank you very much. All these things. He didn't say some of these things, a few of these things, one or two of these things, but he said all these things. Know that the end is near. So we know as we go through the scriptures, and we'll highlight some of them here, that he gave some very distinct and specific signs. And he also gave some signs that make you, that would make you have to think, maybe read between the lines just a little bit, but he said all these things should happen. So what are some of the signs that we see happening now in the world that can make us think or that leads to the second coming of Christ? I'm going to go through a few slides. We're going to look at just a few pictures with some headlines, basically. So let's go back to 2022. Farmers warn of food shortages, higher prices on the horizon. This was just a little over a year ago, June 21st, 2022. Do you all remember this? These events happening in the news and so on and so forth. There was a big issue with farming and farmers not being able to get fertilizer and supplies. This is coming out of the COVID era, right? So here we are. This is January 2023 that this is projected up until. So remember, it said higher prices were coming, and here we see the cost of groceries up by almost 20%. The one that has the spike on the end there, those are eggs. Eggs went up 54%. And we see different percentages, fruits and vegetables, margarine of all things, that went up, bread, chicken, all these things went up just within a couple of short months. And the prices are still rising, are they not?
Yes.
Is this a sign of something?
Yes.
Okay. From the news magazine Business Insider, this was 2 days ago, well, 3 days now. It says, India just ditched the dollar and used its own currency to buy 1 million barrels of oil from the UAE. India and the United Arab Emirates have moved to settle bilateral trade without the buck, marking the latest development in the de-dollarization trend. So there's a movement out there to make the dollar have a much lesser value than what it already has. Is this a sign of something? Not sure, huh? Gas prices nearing $4 a gallon rekindle fears of inflation rebound. National average for a gallon of gas traded at $3.86 after jumping towards $4 earlier on Monday. And we know prices out west are astronomical compared to what we pay here on this side. So these are some signs that we see, a de-dollarization trend. We see prices going up still. But for some reason, the pay isn't getting any better, is it? Let's continue on. This is to follow up on the de-dollarization. It says the moves are the latest in a series of recent maneuvers by mostly non-Western nations to move off the dollar. De-dollarization has gained steam since the U.S. imposed financial sanctions on Russia last year. And countries from China and India to France and Israel have all signaled interest. You know, signal is a byword of sign, right? All right. Leaders from BRICS, and if you're not familiar with who BRICS are, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Leaders from BRICS nations, a bloc that includes, well, it's right there, sorry, have made a particular push for their own non-dollar currency. Meanwhile, China has been trying to internationalize the yuan, to compete against the dollar and has currency agreements with Brazil and Argentina. While the dollar remains dominant as a method of payment, Stephen Jen, the chief executive of Eurasian SLJ Capital, wrote in a note earlier this year that the dollar's share of global reserves declined sharply in 2022, deteriorating at about 10 times the average pace seen in the last two decades. So we see the value of the dollar going down at a very sharp rate. And what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? Other signs. Christ spoke about wars and rumors of wars. We know that there's a war going on in Ukraine right now. And there's also rumors of wars. A new report warns China and the U.S. are drifting toward a war over Taiwan. And it's been said if China and the U.S. go to war, it can cause World War III. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that they will go to war, but it is a rumor, is it not? This is something that's been circulating now for a while. What else is happening? What other signs are we seeing? Here's a nice one. From the New York Times, the Supreme Court sides with postal carrier who refused to work on Sabbath. Do you think that's today that they're talking about?
Oh,
it's tomorrow. That's right. That's right. So the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, is recognizing what the world, or what some Christians may be calling the Sabbath, not what we call the Sabbath. Do you think that this can bring some type of implications upon us later on? Or I may not say later on, but somewhere in the near future? These are signs, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. These are signs. It says the unanimous decision interpreted a federal civil rights law to require employers to make substantial efforts to accommodate their workers' religious practices. So just think, for those of us now who are employed, who have jobs that allow us to be off on the Sabbath because of our religious practices, as more and more people now who keep the Sunday Sabbath say, well, the Sabbath is Sunday and that's the day I need off. Now we may be looked at as the ones who are not keeping the true Sabbath as is said in the world. You see where this is trending? Okay. Somebody sees where it's trending. Amen. Pen of Inspiration tells us those who honor the Bible Sabbath will be denounced as enemies of law and order, as breaking down the moral restraints of society, causing anarchy and corruption, and calling down the judgments of God upon the earth. Climate change, all these different catastrophes, the corruption that's going on, the violence, they're going to say that's because of us, because we're keeping the wrong Sabbath. We're violating God's laws. Here's another article. Pentagon officials testify at first public hearing in more than 50 years. Who can guess what this is about? Oh, UFOs. UFOs, aliens. In more than 50 years, now they're officially testifying about there's UFOs. There's evidence of UFOs. There's evidence of aliens and so on and so forth. Brothers and sisters, this is spiritualism at its finest. Because these are fallen angels, Satan angels, that are appearing and putting on a disguise as aliens or people from other planets. And as a matter of fact, I saw an article, I didn't put it here. It says that the Pope is willing to baptize aliens. Yes, indeed. If you ever get a chance, look at Little Light Studios. They have a nice article, a nice conversation on it. Now, since aliens are actually fallen angels, right? And fallen angels are also known as demons, right? Now, is it good Bible practice to baptize demons? Okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here this morning. Let's continue. We are coming for your children, chant at NYC drag march elicits outrage, but activists say it's taken out of context. Organizers say the NYC drag march is meant to be lighthearted and to poke fun at an anti-LGBTQ sentiment. They're coming for your children. The enemy wants our children. Whether it's through social media, whether it's through movies, whether it's through spiritualism, he's coming for our children, and by any means necessary. And they're saying that, oh, you're taking it the wrong way. We were just joking. Well, how else am I supposed to take it? We still together? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, when is that? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. Brothers and sisters, these are signs of the times. These are signs that's letting us know where we are. The disciples asked Christ to tell them, when will we know that the end shall come? Now, as we discussed in Sabbath school, we don't know the date, but Christ has given us signs to let us know that his coming is very near. Great Controversy, page 370, paragraph 1, tells us, like the Jews at the time of Christ's first advent, they were not prepared to welcome Jesus. They not only refused to listen to the plain arguments from the Bible or signs, but ridiculed those who were looking for the Lord. Satan and his angels exalted and flung the taunt in the face of Christ and holy angels that his professed people had so little love for him that they did not desire his appearing. Have mercy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5 tells us that this know also that when in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Are we seeing these signs today, brothers and sisters? And it's not just in the world, it's in the church that we're seeing these things. And these should raise every red flag that you can find, every antenna that you have that Jesus is definitely coming soon. Christ declares that there will exist similar unbelief concerning his second coming. As the people of Noah's days knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so in the words of our Savior shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24, verse 39, Great Controversy, page 338.8. We know the story of Noah. In the time of the antediluvians, how many people were saved? Eight people. How many people were on the earth? We don't know, but we know there's a lot of people. It might have been millions, who knows? But only eight people were saved. Only eight people. So that tells us, because what it's saying here, that it's going to be a similar unbelief as it was in the day of Noah. Is going to be a similar unbelief now. People say, yeah, Jesus is coming again, but do they really believe it? Do we really believe it? Are we ready for Christ to come again? This is something for us to contemplate on. Back into the Great Controversy. It says that when the professed people of God are uniting with the world, living as they live, and joining with them in forbidden pleasures, when the luxury of the world becomes the luxury of the church, when the marriage bells are chiming and all are looking forward to many years of worldly prosperity, then suddenly, as the lightning flashes from the heavens, will come the end of their bright visions and delusive hopes. I'm not saying don't get married. I'm not saying not to have, you know, a decent job and try to live a good life. But this is talking about worldly concerns. This is talking about not discerning the times that we're living in as if Christ isn't coming again. And it's as if he's not coming again soon. That's what this is talking to. It's talking about uniting with the world. It's not talking about the world uniting with the world. It's the church uniting with the world. You see where it says joining them with forbidden pleasures? That is going on within our church today. These are signs. Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7 says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass." But what? But the end is not yet. Why is that? "For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places." I showed a few articles. Did we see any famines? Food shortages, right? There's famines going on across the world because as we are a first world nation, more established, those nations that are third world nations or have less of a economy or an infrastructure, they're feeling an even tighter grip than we are. We know that Russia broke the deal that they had to where grain can, you know, be shipped out and everything like that, that's been shut down. So certain countries, they're not getting their grain anymore. Ukraine is called, or was called, the breadbasket of the world because of their production of grain. But that's no more. We see pestilences. What's another word for a pestilence? Diseases, right? We just came out of a pandemic that basically is a pestilence. We see earthquakes. And not just earthquakes, we see a lot of other things happening. Fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, stronger than ever before. But you know what's being tagged as the reason for this? It's climate change. It's climate change. That's why these things are happening. No, these things are happening because Jesus said it's going to happen before he comes. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he, meaning Satan, will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now, he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes in every place and in 1,000 forms. Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follows. He knows he has but a short time. So he's going to open these gates and let all these things happen. We see it happening all around us, day in and day out. You hear different things coming up on the news. Thousands of people losing their lives. He imparts to the air a deadly taint. That, you know, when I put this on there, you know, there's different things that people talk about when it says a deadly taint. They said when COVID first came out, how it was in the air and everything like that. For me, even, you know, the smoke that's been coming over from Canada, from the wildfires, even that, a deadly taint in the air, because there's a, what they call it, something with the air. You have the air quality thing, and they say, oh, no, don't go outside, or you got to wear a mask and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's understandable. There are those that have issues with like lung issues, breathing issues, so on and so forth, so whatever. But this highly affects that. And we're talking about something that covers almost the whole state coming from Canada. But in parts, he imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. Destruction will be upon both man and beast. And I'm going to show you. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 4. So these things aren't just happening because of climate change. These things are happening because we live in a wicked and adulterous generation. Here's some more signs. Any of these look familiar? Even the cat got on a mask. Maui wildfires. This is recent. A whole area wiped out. Hundreds of people dead. Hundreds of people still missing. Pray for the people of Maui. A few years ago, we had we still have wildfires in California. I remember I was talking to a brother last year. They had some serious flooding. They had some other things going on. Remember the wildfires out in Paradise, California? Things decimated. This is from a year ago, June 22nd, 2022. And we're feeling the effects of this today. So the writer, Kerry Sadler, from the Washington Times, said that last week, a fire ravaged a Festive Foods plant near Wapaka, Wisconsin. Festive Foods is a lead-in co-packer of USDA certified frozen pizza and appetizers. 70 firefighters spent nearly 12 hours trying to contain the blaze, reportedly sparked by the work being done in the plant's compressor room. Earlier this month, a fire at the JBS meatpacking plant in nearby Green Bay caused nearly $30,000 in damage. In April, fires destroyed the headquarters of Azure Standard, a distributor of organic food in Dufour, Oregon, a Taylor Farms processing facility in Salinas, California, and an East Conway beef and pork butcher shop and slaughterhouse in Conway, New Hampshire. At least 12 U.S. food processing facilities have burned down in the last 6 months. This comes as 37 million chickens have been killed on U.S. poultry farms this year due to the avian flu, the worst outbreak in recorded U.S. history, and the deaths of at least 2,000 cattle in Kansas during the heat wave this month. Remember what it said? It'll be on the animals and on the land also. So this is the destruction that happened with the food processing facilities, food plants, warehouses, so on and so forth. And this was a year ago. And this only mentions a fraction of them because there was much more than this that happened. So these are signs, right? I would hope so. The Kansas City Star, thousands of cattle suddenly die in Kansas. This is what it spoke about. Officials say, what's the blame? I don't know. This is from April 2023. More than 18,000 cows are dead after dairy farm explosion in the Texas panhandle. Did anybody hear about this?
Yes.
All right. Somebody's watching the news. Amen. This is from January 31st of this year. Officials estimate 100,000 chickens died in fire at Connecticut farm. Down here it says an estimated 100,000 hens died in a weekend fire at the Connecticut farm owned by one of the country's largest egg producers. Connecticut officials confirmed Monday it is one of several such fires that have killed millions of chickens around the country over the past decade. I don't know. Something's going on, right? Matthew 24, verse 8 tells us, all these are the beginning of sorrows. This is just the beginning, brothers and sisters. We're just getting started. Our scripture reading, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, can ye discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? We can see things happening in nature. It's cloudy, it's going to rain, it's chilly, it's going to be a cold night. But for some reason, when we see these things happening in the news, some of us tend to turn a blind eye to it. As if, well, this has happened before, and this will come to pass, and it'll change, and this, that, and the third, or whatever. These things are happening more frequently, and they're happening on larger scales. It is time for us to wake up and see what's really going on. As God's people, we should be making preparation. As God's people, not just physical preparation, but spiritual preparation as well. Amen? Matthew 24, verse 9 to 12 says, they shall, remember, he said that this is just the beginning. Now, it says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's no love in this world anymore. Not no true love. But it says that they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. But why? For his name's sake. But we all love Jesus, right? We all keep the Ten Commandments, right? And we all keep the fourth commandment, right? When I say we all, I'm talking about the world, right? No. No. So then why would that happen? Revelation 13, 16 and 17 says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and on their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." What are we talking about here? Amen. Thank you, Sister Harry. Talking about the Sunday law. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that in verse 3 and 4, "Let no man deceive you by any means." I'll get back to it. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Pay attention to this picture. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Who sits in between the cherubims?
God.
No. No. There's somebody else here sitting in right? The scripture just said that somebody else is going to try to take the place of God and sit as God in the temple. God sits between the cherubim, not him. These are signs, aren't they? I just want to make sure that we're still on the same page here. We're talking about the signs of the times. And as I said earlier, signs are given to us to let us know where we are and where we're going. Very important. Pay attention to the signs. Pen of Inspiration tells us in Third Selective Messages, page 162, paragraph 3, "We have nothing to fear for the future except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history." This right here. This tells us where we have come from. It tells us where we are. It tells us where we're going. Let's not forget, and let's not fear for the future. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, has he? No, he has not. As a matter of fact, Luke chapter 21, verse 34 and 36 tells us that, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always," not sometimes, "pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man." He's telling us to get ready. He's telling us, myself included, as I'm reading these things, I'm talking to myself. It is time to get ready. Peter adds in, and he tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Nothing's changed. We always had wars. We always had food issues. Prices go up and down. What's the big deal? For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not what? He is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but long suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. But the day of the Lord will come what? As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And is it going to be a secret? No. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Didn't we talk about holy conversation this morning? Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, whose promise? According to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. These are instructions. These are our signs. These are our guides. I pray that we take these words and we ponder upon them, study upon them, line upon line, precept upon precept, go through these things and apply them to our individual lives so that we can be practically ready, so that we can be physically ready, so that we can be spiritually ready for the second coming of Christ. Amen? Matthew 24 continues, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, what gospel? The everlasting gospel. Amen. Say it again. The everlasting gospel. Revelation, right? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Then the end shall come. We have a gospel that we have to preach. It's found in Revelation chapter 14. It's the three angels' messages. Amen? James says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we finish with this. Christ so tenderly and lovingly says to us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Is that your desire, brothers and sisters? Is your desire to be with Christ where he is? Is your desire to be in this place that he went to prepare for us? If that's your desire, please stand and let's have a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for the signs that you have given us in your word. Lord, you have shown us that your coming is near. You have shown us, O Lord, that it is high time that we be prepared, that we should wake up out of sleep and slumber. Help us not to be foolish virgins, O Lord, but to be wise virgins. Help us, Father, to proclaim this message, this gospel, O Lord, to preach it to the world, O Lord, a dying world. Help us, Father, to reach out to our neighbors, our friends, our families, Father, our children. We know the enemy is after our children. I pray, O Lord, that you would give us wisdom from on high. Give us the words to speak. Give us a sense of urgency, O Lord, to be ready for the things that are coming upon us. I pray, O Lord, that each and every one of us in here will recommit our lives to you in a very special way, and that you will lead us and guide us in all these things, and that we will honor and glorify you, Father, from this day forth with everything we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.